First reading is taken from Romans chapter 8, starting from verse 1 to 4. Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Jesus Christ, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in sinful man in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the sinful nature but according to the Spirit. Second reading is taken from Psalms 32, and it's from page 560 of the Pew Bible. Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him, and in whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to you while you may be found. Surely when the mighty waters rise, they will not reach him. You are my hiding place, and you will protect me from trouble and surround me with the songs of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. Do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, but must be controlled by bit and bridle, or they will not come to you. Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the man who trusts in him. Rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous. Sing, all you who are upright in the heart. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, good morning. And this morning we're looking at this passage from Romans, and we're doing that over the next few weeks, looking at this chapter in Romans chapter 8. So you may want to grab your Bibles throughout the week and turn to chapter 8 and just be kind of reading through it and reflecting on it. And then the sermons on the Sunday, hopefully, will be familiar to you. But this morning we're looking at the first four verses. And it starts with this remarkable statement: there is no condemnation for Christians. There is no condemnation for Christians. And I wonder what that means to us. And so I want us to kind of start by really just reflecting on the psalm that was just read to us. And you may have to bear with me with this. So, there we go. So, in the psalm we just read, we see these words. These are the words from David. And David was quite good at expressing what was going on in his heart. We said this: when I kept silence, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. And what he's talking about are those times when he has not confessed his sin, when he feels condemned by the things that he has done. And this is David's description of how he feels when he feels condemned. And I wonder, how often do we feel like that? Because it's not in a good place to feel condemned. We've all done things wrong in the past. And even when we confess our sins to God and we say, Lord, forgive us, they can still rack around at our back of our memories or in the forefront of our memories. Why do we do that? We feel ashamed. We feel in a bad place. Some of these things that we've done may have been very public. We may have got convictions for them, like a speeding fine, and it really makes us ashamed. Some things may be only known to us. Maybe a hateful reaction to something. Maybe a prejudice that we have that makes other people feel bad. Maybe it was from a long time ago that still comes back and haunts us. We can't understand why we did that certain thing. Or it may be we've done it 5 million times and we think by the 6 million time, God must be fed up of us doing this. And we think, God will not have me back now. He must be fed up with me having done that so many times. He must be fed up with that thing I did in the past. We feel like we want to groan. We're haunted by the past. We feel like David said in the psalm, God's hand is heavy upon us. The word condemned is often used about houses that are broken and falling down, or about cars that have got to the end of their life. And we use that word, don't we? The car's been condemned by the insurance company. It's such a mess. They have no value. They're useless. The house has to be pulled down. There's no point. Feeling condemned can make us feel useless. And we can feel that the world is pointing its finger at us. Ah, look what he did. Look what she did. It can be crushing. And we can feel that God is joining in as well. Our life can feel blighted. We can feel punished by God. We can live as though we got one hand tied behind our back. We can think, God will not have me back. Well, let's see what this passage says about this. Because if we go to our first verse, it's quite simple. Paul, or Jesus, says through the Bible, look, there is no condemnation for the things that we have done. There is no weight of personal guilt. That's a fantastic thing, because all the things that we've done wrong and feel, God comes to us and says, there is no condemnation. I wonder how often or how we see God. Sometimes we may see God as a kind of a bad headmaster strutting about with his cane under his arm, waiting to whack us for anything that we do wrong. But God, and we see this later in the passage, is not like that. Sometimes the popular media tries to encourage us to think that's what God is like, waiting to catch us out. Yeah, you've done it again. Passage later tells us that God is our Father. We can call him Daddy, an intimate phrase, because God is not about condemning us. So we might want to ask the question, does God turn a blind eye to sin? Has he gone soft? But we'll come back to that to later. For the moment, we need to understand we don't need to waste away. We don't need to groan. We don't need to see that God's hand is heavy upon us, feeling weak. God tells us there is no condemnation. But Paul does say this, there is no condemnation for those in Christ. What does that phrase in Christ mean? Well, it's a phrase that Paul uses, you see elsewhere in his letters. But basically, Paul's phrase for saying, these are the people who have become Christians. If we become a Christian, Paul says we are in Christ. Our life is identified by what Christ has done. So if we turn to Christ, if we put trust in his words and we believe in him, God's condemnation for the things that we have done wrong is averted. And the question for us, have we done this? Have we turned to him to see forgiveness for the things we have done wrong? God wants us to have a life that's free of condemnation. We know that we've all done wrong, and we say this in the confessional prayers. But that is not the end to it, because Christ tells us, Paul tells us, there is co-condemnation. We are free of that burden that is placed upon us. It's like an incident I can tell you about when I was working some time ago. I had to go and put up a public display publicising some proposals that the council was putting forward. And so we put on public displays and invited people to come along and have a chat to us, and they could tell us what they thought about it. So one morning I go down to, it was out Bawtry Way, and unfortunately I was a few minutes late. Not these public displays weren't always well attended by the public, but it just so happened on this occasion there was somebody waiting there at 9 o'clock, and I was a few minutes late. So I did my best to explain to him, look, these are the words that we're putting up. This is what it's all about. Have a read of this. And I like to think he got all the information that he needed. But a few days later, he wrote in to us a bitterly complaining letter. And I thought, I have to eat humble pie. I have to reply to this. So I explained to my boss. And he turned to me and said, look, I've dealt with it. Yes, but I screwed up. I should have been there. I wasn't able to do what I was supposed to do. He says, I've dealt with it. Yeah, but what did you write, Alan? What did you put in the letter? And he smiled, I've dealt with it. And he kept telling me, I've dealt with it. You don't need to worry about it. You don't need to feel condemned by what you have done. And I can't tell you what a great feeling that was. That though I had done something wrong and I felt bad, this resident complained about it bitterly. My boss said, I've dealt with it. And so it is with Christ, that when we do things wrong, he comes to us and he says, I've dealt with it. A few moments ago, we sang that new song, didn't we? Living Waters. I don't know if you noticed those words in the song. Our hope is secure. There is no fear anymore. When Christ says there is no condemnation, our hope is secure. We can be confident of our future. We can be confident he will look after us as we stand before God on our judgment day. And he says to me, this man, I do not have anything to condemn him for. We don't need to fear. And one of the implications of this is we don't need to pretend. We don't need to pretend before God. We don't need to convince God that we're good, because he knows what we're like. He knows that we are not condemned for anything. So we don't have to make up or repay for the things that we have done wrong. We can't earn favor or points. We can just rely on the knowledge and assurance, no matter what we have done, God does not condemn us. We don't need to pick over the past. We don't have to beat ourselves up for what we have done wrong, because there is no condemnation, no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Now, how is this? How is it that God is able to say to us there is no condemnation? We ask the question, has God turned a blind eye to the things that we've done wrong? Well, verse 2 and 3 explain that God sent Jesus to be our sacrifice. For humanity to thrive, God gave us the law that's enshrined in the Old Testament. We can read about it in the first 5 books of the Bible. And we can see how mankind in the Old Testament failed to live up by those commandments. And it's no surprise that we too, in the 21st century, don't live up to those commandments. Wouldn't it be great if everybody did? What a different world it would be. But we know that those 10 commandments, that law is never going to work because of our humanity. We always want to do our own thing. We saw that in the story of Noah that we looked at with the children earlier. We don't want God or anybody else telling us what to do and how to live our lives. But let's look at verse 3. It says this, "For what the law was powerless to do, and it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering." In other words, the old law was powerless. It was never going to save us. It was like a mirror showing us what we are like, showing us that we need a Savior. We need God to help us. We can easily read the news, can't we, in whatever form, just to see what the world is like, how we have failed to live up to God's rule. But verse 3 tells us that Christ Jesus is the sacrifice. So God is not soft on sin. He's not sweeping it under the carpet. What he did was to send Jesus, his own Son, to be our sacrifice so that we are not condemned. Sin and doing wrong do matter. It does matter that we've done things wrong in the past, but Jesus was sent to be our sacrifice. Can you imagine that? The God, the creator of the world, the source of all beauty, coming into the world. Not as a God, not as that headmaster pointing his finger at us, but rather as a human being who suffered the very worst that the humanity could throw at him by being crucified on a cross. Jesus died in our place so that we might have life. This is a picture of Sergeant Dennis Whitechull. He was aged 33 and he worked in the American military in Afghanistan. He was driving in his vehicle and behind him was a convoy of heavy vehicles. And he saw some children in the road. And what they were doing, they were picking up spent brass cartridge shells. And what they did, they collected them and recycled them and made a bit of money for themselves. But Dennis Whitechull knew this convoy was coming, so he stopped his vehicle and ushered the children out of the way to the side of the road. The 16-ton vehicles came along in the convoy. One of the boys in the group saw a spent cartridge shell and thought he'd just dash out and grab it quick. Dennis Whitechull saw the danger. He could see that if this boy was hit by one of these vehicles, he would be crushed. So he had children of his own, and he leapt in front of the vehicle, pushed the child out of the way, but he himself was hit and died. He pushed that child out of the way so he could have life. His 8-year son Nicholas said this, "My hero is someone who saved another person's life. My hero is someone who saved another person's life." Similarly, Jesus gave his life to push us out of the way of God's judgment. He took God's judgment so that we have no condemnation towards us. When we do wrong, Jesus takes our condemnation so we don't have to. It raises a question. Does that mean we can do what we like? Can we, doesn't matter what we do anymore because we just, Yeah, no condemnation. Just let God deal with it. Well, the answer to that is, well, no, because the passage also talks about the law of the Spirit. And it tells us that we need to live our new lives by the Spirit. Well, what is this living by the Spirit? Well, the passage talks a bit more about this, so come back next week. But just to help a little bit, as we're saved from condemnation, we have a new life to live, a thankful life to serve. Many people do things for us that we don't deserve. And maybe our mums and dads, or maybe a spouse, friends, children. And as they do things that we don't deserve, we form a bond with them in response to their kindness. So it is with God, as we received his gift to us, his gift of no condemnation, his gift of Jesus Christ, so we no longer are condemned, but we respond by serving him and living by his Spirit. So we do not carry on living as we like. Look at what Paul says in his letter to the Galatians when he's talking about living by the Spirit. He talks about these qualities of life. It says, he talks about the quality and the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are the things that should direct our living. So we're not free to live and do just what we are like. We are called to live by the Spirit, asking God to help us to display these types of qualities in our life, which Paul calls the fruit of the Spirit. So this morning, how do we respond to this? God will not have me back now. You may think that what you've done is too monstrous. It's too massive. How can God forgive me for that? I've constantly done it time and time again. Or maybe a big, massive thing that we've done that we just can't get our head around. Henry Gurecka was a pastor in the American military in 1945. He was asked to minister to 22 condemned men at the Nuremberg trials held at the end of the Second World War. And they were putting on trial those who were responsible for the atrocities of the Nazi regime in Europe. He had a job to minister, to speak to them, and to help them before they were condemned. And he reported that there were those who repented. Will God have condemned them for what they've done? Romans 8 says there is no condemnation. Whatever we have done, whatever terrible things those men did, God says to them, there is no condemnation if you turn to me, if you are in Christ. Whatever we have done, God will say to us, there is no condemnation because Christ has suffered for us. Does not matter how great or small we think our transgressions are. If we turn to him, God does not condemn us. Psalm 103, verse 12 tells us this. As far as the east is from the west, so far has God removed our transgressions from us. In other words, our sins go one way and we go the other way. Our sins are never to be met again. This morning, we can enjoy the generosity of God, his mercy towards us for the things that we do not deserve. Whatever we have done, what others may think of us, we can be assured that God does not condemn us. There is a big cross against those things that we have done wrong. A big cross against the condemnation of people pointing to us and of God pointing to us. We do not need to revisit our sins and allow them to bear down on us. As we have sung this morning, our hope is secure and we do not fear anymore. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. I want to finish with a short prayer, using some of the words that we have sung this morning. Lord, we may be tired and broken, lacking your peace, not resting as we churn over our failed lives and our actions. Thank you for the cross, the sacrifice of Jesus for us. May we lay our life down before you, and may your Spirit of living water flow within us, your vast and your boundless love. May our hope be secure, and take away our fear, that we may live by your Spirit. May you lead us, your children, bringing joy and taking away any fear or condemnation. And we ask this in Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Amen.